thank you for praying with me. Let's pray for miracles. You know, I love talking about the saints. I love the story of Saint Philomena that we just heard about. She is a powerhouse saint that God, I think, reserved for our time. And the saints who had devotion to her, the miracles that took place are unbelievable. I was reading a story the other day about the cure of Ars. You know, it was his feast day, Saint John Vianney. And what a powerhouse he was. I mean, people came from all over to go to confession to him. Conversion was one of the great graces that he had. But he was being beaten up by the evil one, tossed about his room. His bed was set on fire. And, you know, when it came to Philomena, the cure of Ars, he needed healing. And this was back like in 1843, 25 years, you know, into his stint as the cure of Ars there, and he got deadly ill. St. John Vianney was diagnosed with a very fatal pneumonia. He collapsed, was ultimately given last rites, and he requested Mass be offered in St. Philomena's honor. And at the exact moment that Mass was being offered for him at the altar of St. Philomena, the cure of Ars was healed instantly and absolutely completely. And it was an absolute miracle to another saint. And of course, you know, he's seen the power of God. He's seen St. Philomena's work. So many saints, as I said, have had devotion. So many popes, some of the powerhouse ones like Leo XIII and Pius IX and Pius X, St., you know, Damian of Malachi, and another one, a satanic priest turned promoter of the rosary, Blessed Bartolo Longo. He enjoyed St. Philomena's favors, St. Anna Maria Tiagi. So many of these great saints you might know about have had devotion. So today I'm going to invite her to pray with us, okay? She's the patron saint of purity. If you are struggling with pornography, then really I would suggest that you turn to her and ask for her powerful intercession. She's also, like St. Jude and St. Rita, the patron saint of impossible cases. Father shared the story about his meatballs and how they had 200 people show up. The longer version is, I think, 200 people that had to be fed, or 300 or 400 people showed up, and the food just kept multiplying. He had enough food to feed everybody that was in there, and they had no explanation for it. I personally witnessed that phenomenon myself. I was down in, and I've shared the story many times, so forgive me if you heard it, but just to show you, I mean, this is what I've experienced. This is what allows me to speak with great conviction to you that, look, God can fix your finances. He can multiply whatever's happening. He can pull a coin out of the fish of a mouth, or point a coin out of the mouth of a fish to pay a temple tax. He can help you pay your taxes, right? He can help you resolve those bills. He can help you find that better job. He can vanquish that cancer. When I was down in Texas as a young kid, I was in high school. I think I was a senior in high school. I went with a priest friend of mine on this trip with some other young people, and we worked a farm where we grew food, and we ultimately would pick this food and we'd take it across the border. I believe it was Juarez, Mexico, where we went. And we went to a trash dump, and we saw kids eating trash, and we saw people totally impoverished, and we saw the horrors of how some people live. And, you know, you travel a few miles away, and there's Mercedes and beautiful air-conditioned homes and pools, and pretty wild how diverse this was. And the priest that was with us, Father Rick Thomas, he said to us, he says, look, you know, miracles happen all the time. Don't be surprised if you see the phenomena of food multiplying. And again, I'm a high school kid, man. I'm 17 years old. And I'm thinking, well, that'd be pretty cool, right? And so me and my buddies line up. I was given like a bag of cabbage. You know, I don't know how many was in there, 20 cabbages, 30, whatever. And the guy next to me, he had, you know, carrots. The guy next to him had potatoes. The guy next to me. So, you know, going down the line, there was this line. And people came from this impoverished area with their own little baskets or their own cloth, and they would take a couple potatoes, a couple cabbages, a couple heads of lettuce, whatever it was that we had in line there. And I'll tell you, if I had 50 cabbages, 150, 200 people came by me. And after this long line, the food never diminished. It diminished, I should say, but it didn't evaporate. It was not gone. I remember picking up half a dozen of these cabbages when it was over. I had no explanation for it. And the priest said to us, with God, Drew, all things are possible. I never forgot that. You know, he clearly multiplied fish. He multiplied loaves. He showed us that in the scriptures. And those miracles happen today. We think, oh, it's Old Testament stuff. It would never happen in my day. Gosh, that's New Testament stuff with Christ, right? Those miracles were centuries ago. No. No. Miracles are awaiting in your future. God wants to work a miracle in your life. He wants to show you that he is in control, that whatever your situation is, he can help you find a way out. If you don't see the way out, that he will bring good out of that situation. So I want to pray for you right now. I want to pray for this man, Craig, who had surgery today. I want to pray for him and his total recovery. One other thing. I spoke to a young girl today. She called me. She called a couple of weeks ago. It was a friend of my family. And she had brain aneurysms. And she was going to have to go in and have a very serious surgery. And you know, if you have a brain aneurysm, how terrifying that can be. So she came to the chaplet here. We prayed for her together, you and me. We prayed. We asked God for his healing touch. I asked God for miracles on that day. And I got a phone call right before walking into the studio here. It says, I want to let you know, the person said to me, that Dee Dee's aneurysms are gone. They are gone. Absolutely vanished. A medical miracle. And she just said, amen. Thank you and thank all who prayed. So I love that. That's a friend of mine that received that miracle. I grew up with these people. I know who they were. And that's how God can work. He can heal your aneurysm and he can multiply your finances and he can bring that person you're praying about into your life. He can do all things. And that's why he gives us saints like Philomena, like the cure of ours. That's why he allows us to see phenomena like food multiplying in our own day. God's a God of miracles. I want to pray right now, okay? I want to pray for I want to pray for one other intention that a friend of mine back on the East Coast called me about. They have a cousin's son who is struggling with pornography. And this man said he's been battling it for 20 years, and it has destroyed him. It has owned him. It's now maybe costing him his relationship. And he was exposed to pornography when he was 13 years of age. He saw some video in the room of, I think it was his uncle, and it set him on a course that for 20 years tortured him. And I'd ask you today, would you pray for this soul? I'm going to ask St. Philomena, the patron of purity, to pray for him, and Maria Goretti. I'm going to ask St. Faustina. But I really want to pray for any man out there that is struggling with pornography, especially anyone who's troubled marriages because of this. Anyone whose life has been uprooted because of this. I had a friend that ended up in jail because of this type of addiction. I should maybe talk about it more in the future, but let's pray right now for those particular intentions. Those are some heavy ones, and I know you have your own crosses as well that you probably need prayer for. So I'm praying with Beth today. She joins me from our Green Bay studios, and it's good to pray with her. Beth, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew.
Anything you want to pray for?
For the intentions of my friends and family, specifically for my parents, for their health. And then we have an old farmhouse and there have been some issues. So I'd just like to pray for those issues to resolve and for peace in the world. So.
Well, you got it. Thanks for praying with me. Maggie will share your intentions if you put them up on Twitter, at Drew Mariani Show. And if you're on hold, I'll get you on the air here as well. But let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right. Our first call today comes from Mary. She's been waiting to pray with us in Los Angeles. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Drew. Real quick, this tendonitis buzzing in my head at night, it's really just started. Very strange. I have dry mouth. It's getting a little better. I called before, but tendonitis, dry mouth. Eric is very sick. I saw him at church. He was keeling over, gastrointestinal for Eric. He was very, very sick. I'm very concerned. And Rover, the puppy, he ran away from my friend's house. Beautiful puppy. We don't know where he is. Thank you. Bless you.
God bless you, Mary. Thank you. All right, let's pray for those intentions. Pray for those who have chronic ringing in their ears. Cindy, if you are praying with me right now, I'm praying for you. I've got a friend who says that she has that problem too. And that can be, I can't imagine that constant high-pitched ring. So I just pray for those who suffer in these unusual ways, dry mouth, all the other problems that Mary has voiced. I want to pray for Eric and all those who are experiencing sickness today, battling COVID, other ailments that have them down and out. And we want to pray for those things that we love that are lost, especially those pets. And we just pray right now, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Kristen is praying in Austin, Texas. Kristen, thanks for dialing in.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much. I would like to talk about an answered prayer and offer a prayer of thanksgiving for my daughter who is in my arms right now. Today's her first birthday.
Yeah.
And we prayed for her for so many years, went through infertility using natural family planning and the Creighton method and things of that nature. And she's a year old today, and it's just a wonderful blessing. And my heart's so full of joy. So thank you so much.
Oh, praise God. I'm so happy for you. Well, we'll continue to pray for your beautiful baby. Happy birthday to you too, right? To you and your baby. What a great day to remember that birth. And prayer works. And Lord, I pray right now for that one-year-old girl. I pray for her mother. I pray for those who have struggled with infertility and are in the battle with it now. I've known many people who've felt, you know, and been diagnosed with infertility, and yet you've blessed them with children. And if that be your will, for those who are now joining me in this intention, I ask for an abundant blessing of life. I pray for the mother who has that child in her womb now and is thinking about terminating it, ending it. She may understand that that is a blessing. And perhaps if she can't keep it, Lord, that she does put it up for adoption, that some other family may have that. Lord, I pray for those having problems in utero. I'm going to pray for anyone who suffered the deep wound of abortion. And I just ask for their healing and that your mercy envelop them as well. But I thank you for Kristen. I thank you for answered prayers. I thank you for those prayers that are now in motion being answered. And we pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Before I go to Tom, he's listening in Wisconsin praying with us here. Let me invite Maggie to share some of the many intentions that are coming in. And know that even though your intention may not be voiced on the air, if you email us or you get in line here on the phones, we're praying for one another. And I hope you know that you're being prayed for. But Maggie, what can we pray for? What's coming in?
We got an email earlier, Drew, from Jennifer Lee. She said we got a note from one of our inmate listeners. He has a special prayer request. Joseph has served a little over 23 years in prison. 3 weeks ago, he was deemed suitable for parole. In California, there is a 150-day waiting period before parole goes into effect. So if there's no reversal on this initial decision, he could likely be released just before Christmas. And so they're praying for a special Christmas gift for him and his family. Adriana wrote to us and said, "Thank you, Drew. My prayer intentions are for my niece, Rhiannon, who's battling congestive heart failure at 41 due to a misdiagnosis that she had almost 5 years ago. She's praying for a miracle for treatment to help her." Ryan wrote to us and asks for prayers for the repose of the soul of a Memphis firefighter who died in the line of duty last night. Andrea wrote to us for prayers for her daughter, Julia, who's in the ER with suspected appendicitis. Mac wrote to us for prayers for our country. And Marie said, "Please pray for no legal battle for my son, for that God might bless the work of our hands, for abundance to be able to help our family go back home, for a graceful exit or retirement for my husband, and for our land to be sold. Thank you so much."
Well, thank you for posting those intentions. And we're going to pray for every one of those. That poor firefighter and his family, such a noble and heroic act to lose his life. Lord, I pray for that man's soul. For those who will die unexpectedly and prematurely, I just ask for your mercy there. I love the intention praying for America. Lord, I do pray for this country. Protect us from degeneration, disaster, disease, war. Just be merciful to us. Do not allow the hand of your justice to befall us, but rather continue to envelop us in your mercy. And Maggie, what was the name of our incarcerated friend in California?
Joseph.
So, Joseph, I want to pray for you. I have a special place in my heart for anyone who has done time. I really pray for your new beginning. And I'm going to pray that in 150 days from now, you'll be celebrating Christmas with your family. You'll be joining us live. I invite you to call in and share your story with me when you come out. And Lord, I just pray for Joseph. I pray for new beginnings. I pray for conversion. I pray for redemption. I pray for those who do not know you. But I pray for all those who are incarcerated. I pray for the victims. I just give you these intentions, all those in my heart, all those who now pray with me. Let me get Tom in here. I was about to pray with Adam. I promised him he'd be with us in the third. Tom, good afternoon.
Yeah. Hi, Drew. How are you?
Tom. All right.
Okay, so here's the problem. My daughter came over last night, 3:30 in the morning, and she was crying, and she had been drinking slightly a little bit, and so she's saying, "What can I do? What can I do with my friend?" You know, she's pregnant. She's 18 years old, and she says that you know, she's 5 months pregnant, and if she can't find someone to take the baby, she's gonna abort it. You know, and I said, "Well, you have to trust in Jesus." I says, "I'm praying for you. I'll pray for your friend." You know, and it's a sad situation because she lives alone. And she's got nobody to turn to now. Her boyfriend up and left her.
Tom.
And,
Let me just say, like, the Marianis will take that child. I've got a son and a daughter who'd love to adopt that child. So you let her know there's somebody there, a loving family, that would take that child in a heartbeat.
Okay.
But let's pray right now.
That would be great.
Let's pray right now for this mother. I mean, life is a gift. I mean, so often we look at it like, oh, it's going to ruin my life. It's a curse. It's a cross. Any mother that has ever carried her child to term has never regretted it. It's a tremendous blessing. And I want to ask St. Faustina, for whatever God's will is here, especially for this mother, I want to pray for all those mothers in crisis pregnancies right now. Yeah, I've often shared the story, and Faustina, thank God, wrote about it in her diary, how in the evening between 8 and 11, she would feel like her insides were being ripped out, torn apart. She suffered unimaginably. Doctors didn't know what was going on. Nothing they did to treat her helped. And it came. The Lord told her later that, you know, she was undergoing those pains for mothers who were aborting their children. She was a victim soul suffering for these mothers. And I ask St. Faustina right now for that mother in particular, for all these women who are contemplating abortion. I want to pray for those in the industry. I want to pray for the legislators who have this issue wrong. Lord, I beg your mercy. St. Faustina, intercede for us as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Dustin, listening in Rancho Cordova, California. Dustin, thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
Hi, I just wanted to call and say that my neighbor that I called about on Monday is home now. She's feeling better. So I want to thank God for that.
Praise God.
And I was laid off from my job yesterday. I want to pray for a new job.
Well, let's pray for that right now. All right. We'll lift that up. God bless you, Dustin. I want to pray for Dustin. We thank you right now for his neighbor and for the way you are working, Lord, the way you're bringing about healing. But I do pray for all those who have ambulatory problems. I want to pray for those looking for new work and for new jobs. And I want to pray for his intentions. But I do want to pray for those underemployed and unemployed, those struggling with their finances. Lord, I want to pray with those who have physical challenges today that are preventing them from fulfilling their daily duty, their vocation, and whatever it may be, motherhood or being the provider, whatever it might be. So hear the prayers of Dustin. Hear my prayers. Hear those who now cry out to you as we turn to you once again and pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, let's jump over to Tower, Minnesota. Wayne is praying with us there. Hi, Wayne.
Good afternoon, Drew. First of all, thank you for doing this Divine Chaplet every day with us. It makes my day, and I know it helps a whole lot of people everywhere.
Thank you.
Drew, I'm calling for my girlfriend's uncle, Frank, who was diagnosed about 2 months ago with fourth degree pancreatic cancer. We've been saying rosaries and divine chaplets for him every night. And I just got a call from her about a half hour ago that they called the priest and he's made a turn for the worse. So I'm praying for divine intervention.
Well, thank you for coming to our spiritual family here, Wayne. We'll pray for your girlfriend's uncle. Pray for you, too, and all of your personal needs. I know you didn't voice anything. And, you know, that pancreatic cancer so often is, it seems like it's a death sentence. It's so brutal. Lord, I do not know your will, but I will pray for miracles, just as we've seen miraculous healings of the cure of ours, as we've seen food multiply, as you raise the dead. I will not limit regardless of what doctors say or what the condition looks like, your healing touch. So I just simply intercede on behalf of Wayne, on behalf of all those in these critical moments. We all make this journey. And if this is the moment you're calling him home, then I pray that you come as a merciful Savior, not a just judge, that you give him the grace to accept eternal salvation, that you protect him from the wickedness and snares of the evil one. And I re-echo that for all who are praying with me right now. Let me add Joseph from Tucson, Arizona, to our final decade here. Thank you, Wayne, for your call. Joseph, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Drew Moraney.
Hey.
I just want to pray for my mom and dad because they're very stressed and worried about their job and just everything that happened in our life. And I want to pray for the conversion of my sister and her boyfriend, for them to come back to the church.
All right. Thank you, Drew Moraney. Good prayers. God bless you. Thank you, Joseph from Tucson. Lord, I love the prayer because I know it's one that you want to answer, one that you promised you would. Conversion is the one prayer that you say is always heard and answered. And I pray for not only Joseph's intentions, but for those who pray with me now, for their sons and daughters, for their spouses, for their loved ones and friends. And I re-echo that for my own family. And I just ask right now, Lord, that you show mercy. You show mercy. We lift up this intention of finances too, again, for jobs, for unemployment. And I give to you those today, Lord, who are in need of a real financial blessing. I've seen them. I know that they are right around the corner. And I want to thank you for them. But I want to pray for those who have suicidal ideations, those who have sexual addictions, who are addicted to pornography, those in troubled marriages, those who do not believe in you, those who've rejected you. I want to pray for those who've gone before us. I give you my heart, united with all who now pray with me. And we humbly turn to you, Lord, in your mercy, as we pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. I know so many people are on hold right now, so many who are praying with me, so many have written. Lord, I ask for your mercy as we pray. Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Peregrine,
pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
St. Philomena,
pray for us.
And also St. Clare of Assisi, whose feast day it is today. Pray for us.
Pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Beth, thank you for praying with me. And I want to thank you for praying with me too.
Thank
Please,
you.
Let's pray for each other. One small sacrifice today for the gang, right? For the group, for the family here. If you could do that, or one extra prayer, I know miracles are going to take place. I'm so confident. I shared that testimony, the aneurysms that have disappeared. I'm expecting great things for you. I know God is working in your life. Things are in motion. Keep believing. Keep exercising your faith, okay? And above all, keep praying. I'll be back. You're about to hear an amazing story. Don't go away.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
What we've seen in the culture over the last 50 or 60 years has become kind of monolithic in terms of the way that women are treated and are expected to behave. And it's definitely targeting some very specific things like our virginity and our motherhood. And Our Lady, of course, is the Virgin Mother. So it makes sense that there's a very specific attack going on Our Lady and on women, too. I mean, I think Satan knows that if he gets women, he gets everybody.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That is so true, right? Satan gets women. He gets everybody. That was Kerry Gress. She's been on the program in the past. She wrote a book. It's called Anti-Mary Exposed, Rescuing the Culture from Toxic Femininity. It's a good read. Pick it up if you can. Stick it on your bookshelf. You know, she mentions in that book, we've spoken to her several times about this, the attacks on women's virginity and motherhood. Because I just think of this attack on women today. I think of men, too. I mean, Satan hates the family. He absolutely hates the family, you know, and he certainly wants to undermine it, and he certainly wants to attack it. And I see it in the case of men. I see so many marriages and relationships destroyed because of men giving in to impurity. You know, the pornography can be a profound and addictive drug. And we know that. So, you know, see Satan's attack on the women, you see it on the men. You know, my producer Maggie came across an interesting story. There's another book out called Motherhood Redeemed, How Radical Feminism Betrayed Maternal Love. And we're going to speak in just a moment to Kimberly Cook. She's the author of the book. It's a fascinating story. It's the journey of a woman who is today a popular podcaster, she was without compass. She was directionless, she says, as a young woman. And as her family fell away from the Catholic Church right before her critical high school years, she was allured by the glitter of relativism, right? I mean, Benedict XVI coined a very famous phrase. He called the time in which we live the dictatorship of relativism, right? Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. It's all relative, right? We're formed. And so many people wonder about their kids. Why are they leaving the faith? What's happening to this next generation? Relativism and the culture is forming them. Pop culture has such a profound impact on our children. So what ended up happening with her, she was very artistic. She began to follow her interests. She fell in with what she calls other outcasts and was influenced by the feminist movement. And she says this, and I'll quote her. She says, I repetitively encounter the issues of reproductive rights. I hate that term. Let me call it for what it is. Abortion, right? Contraception and fertility. During that time, she says, the horror of being a woman was awakened in me. She formed an all-girl punk band and eventually became a hot-headed feminist seeking restitution. Hers is a story that you have to hear. I invited her to join me today. And Kimberly, it's great to have you. Good afternoon.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here with you.
Well, thanks for what you're doing, too. This is one of those things that I don't think people are intimately connected to or aware of. I mean, radical feminism, militant feminism, feminism in general, some of this relativism has a way of bedimming the mind and desensitizing us to these changes, right? And it changes the culture, changes individuals. So if you write a book, when you come out writing a book on redeeming motherhood, I can't applaud you loudly enough. You know, I want to thank you for doing that. So, but you know, I think your story is a great one. I think it can inspire. To bring us through it, if you could, I want to throw you the ball. Feel free. Take us through your journey, if you don't mind.
Sure, absolutely. And I will say, Drew, that the reason why I called it Motherhood Redeemed, and you did a great intro with the Kerry Gress quote from her book, and then just coming into my book and you know, we're, Carrie and I are certainly fighting the same fight here, and it's one that really needs to be fought, as you said, in our culture today. And a lot of people do ask that question, how do my kids fall away, or how did they get into this relativism or feminism? How are they allured by this, regardless of how they're raised? And that is a question that it doesn't take much to see when you look around at the culture in every direction, whether it's news, media, you know, social media, friends, and even, you know, I went to public school my whole life, but it's certainly in the church. It's certainly in Catholic schools as well. And it's hard to escape, you know, some of this, the strands of these things, and to try to raise your kids almost in a vacuum is impossible. So it is something that you just have to be aware of, and you have to combat it the whole way through. So the reason that my book is called Motherhood Redeemed is because one of the key issues that I took out of the feminist movement is that motherhood is the worst thing that can happen to you as a woman. And that's the lie of feminism. And that's the grounds for a lot of the points that feminism jumps off of, such as voluntary motherhood, and you said reproductive rights, which is, of course, abortion and contraception and sterilization. And yes, again, this idea that came in the turn of the century, the 20th century, voluntary motherhood, you know, that was this idea that Margaret Sanger and others started to use because, of course, it has this very chic sound, voluntary motherhood. And but you know, when you pull off the label and call it what it is, it really does have abortion and sterilization and contraception and eugenics underneath of that. And and so that was kind of the foundation of what the feminist movement was selling and what I fell into. And in the quote that you led in with, that it was awakened in me that being a woman was this horrible thing because I had this reproductive curse and there was nothing I could do about it, you know? And so that fear made me think, well, I have to do something, you know, what can I do? What's available? What methods are available to make sure that this terrible thing of becoming a mother never happens to me?
Yeah. And so what happened, to you? You ended up, you know, forming an all-girl punk band, and tell us about your journey. What happened as you began to embrace this dictatorship of relativism that Benedict talks about, this feminism that's supposed to give you freedom, but really doesn't?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, I mean, just to get to that point, I was raised a cradle Catholic, but it was very much just in practice as far as going to Mass on Sundays, saying prayers before meals, and it really didn't penetrate into the heart of our family. And so when my brother and I got to the point where we were at about middle school age, we started questioning a lot of the tenets of the Catholic faith and just ordinary things like, why do we baptize, you know, cross ourselves with holy water every time we enter a church? Why do we kneel and sit and stand and just all of those things? Why do we go to confession to a priest instead of just telling it to God on our own? All of those things that a lot of us have heard over and over again from people outside of the church, or even questioning people inside the church, like my brother and I were. And my parents they weren't very well catechized, so they didn't have a lot of good answers to give us. They almost just said, we just do it because we do it. You know, we're Catholic, mm-hmm. and that's what Catholics do, and who knows why we do it, but we're just keep doing it. And that wasn't good enough for me. So my brother and I started to rebel against everything Catholic. You know, we wouldn't get out of bed on Sundays, and we gave my parents a hard time to go to Mass. We didn't want to have any parts of any of the sacraments. And basically just, we weren't convinced that it was the truth and started looking elsewhere for the truth. So when I got into high school, again, public high school, a lot of liberal ideals, a lot of liberal friends. You know, none of my friends were practicing Christians, or if any of them did call themselves Christians, it was a very loose, almost spirituality rather than any formal Christianity, I'd say. But I certainly had a number of friends who considered themselves atheist and agnostic, and a number of teachers that, you know, were kind of this, they had these residual ideas of the 60s and 70s and in kind of that hippie mentality and a lot of feminist ideals that were still being clung to by a lot of my my high school teachers. So they were certainly seeping that into the lessons and just the way that they spoke and sharing their ideas of life and things like that. And for me, as you said, you mentioned that I was very artistic. You know, I was wanting to become an artist. I was a musician. And so I was really gravitating towards teachers that were more, you know, in that world, and as well as friends. And so so I wound up meeting other feminists, you know, self-proclaimed feminist women in our high school, and was introduced to this kind of underground feminist movement, the music, the magazines that were out there, and the literature that was circulating, and these feminists that have been held up, you know, Simone de Beauvoir and some of these feminists through the ages that have been held up as these heroines and of the past. And so I just took to that and started reading the literature and started going through this brainwashing process of thinking that women had this terrible place in history, in society, in the eyes of God, you know, whoever he was, you know, in my mind at the time.
Kimberly, and hold the thought for 1 second. Let me hold you there because I'm up against the clock. I need to take just a short pause. I want to hear the rest of your story on the other side. Maybe you were wrangled into the, you know, feminist movement as well. You want to join the conversation, share your story. Feel free to do that. 888-914-9149. Motherhood. It's so key. You know, Satan has great enmity for the family. He has great enmity for life. This is all part of his modern day attack, kind of shining the light on what is a modern day deception and hearing a great success story of somebody who's risen above it. This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
How do we get to the point where so many young women today think to be free is to go to college, get a great degree, have a fantastic job, and be as sexually free as possible? How did those get joined together? Well, that was the question that people began to ask me after I had left Cosmo. You have to understand a bit about how propaganda works. Propaganda isn't just a bunch of lies. People think, oh, propaganda, I can spot it in a minute because it's just a bunch of lies. No, propaganda is a very sophisticated. It's half-truth, selected truth, and truth out of context is used not to sell just products. It's also used to sell ideas.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that's a that's another winner there. That's Sue Ellen Browder. She was a former Cosmo writer for about 20 years. She tells us how the publication has pushed a very specific agenda for decades. She wrote an amazing book. You should check that out as well. If you're just joining us, we're talking about radical feminism and how it's been pushing the boundaries further and further to places that they make no sense, right? That's what ends up happening. You know, you keep pushing and pushing to a point where things are so distorted, they're not recognizable. The whole concept of radical feminism, it militates against the whole idea of motherhood. That's what this is all about. That's why contraception and abortion are constantly claimed as being a right, right? It's absolutely necessary. You know, if women are going to be equal with men, they have to be able to control their reproduction, their reproductive rights. Feminists believe that men have all the luck, right? And that if women ends up pregnant, he can walk away, she can. And for them, motherhood is something of a burden, right? And they want women to take control of their bodies, that be like men, you know, to be able to have sex without the consequences. Of course, it doesn't matter if you're sterilized, right, or you're using some kind of contraception. There's no such thing as being free of consequences. I'm joined today by somebody who's been down this path. She wrote a book called Motherhood Redeemed, How Radical Feminism Betrayed Maternal Love. Her name is Kimberly Cook. And she thought she could throw off her femininity, especially motherhood, raised Catholic, fell away from the faith, eventually started an all-girl punk band as a teenager, but God caught up to her in her 20s. She had a powerful reversion. She's here to share her story. Kimberly, let me let you pick it up where you left off. It's an amazing tale.
Absolutely. Well, I think the beauty of the truth here that a lot of people need to hear is that no matter how lost somebody seems, and maybe I certainly seemed like a lost cause at this point in time, but the seeds that are planted, those seeds of truth and those seeds of the Lord, the Holy Spirit only needs small seeds to work with, and he can do amazing things in bringing people back to the truth from those small seeds. And that's certainly what happened. So yes, I went through high school. It was certainly many years of darkness and searching for truth, which led me further and further away because I was searching in all the wrong places and becoming much more angry and bitter and very resentful. I remember at God, at the Creator, you know, for creating me to be in this situation where I'm this woman who's basically cursed by this, you know, this reproductive curse and never able to rise above to a certain level. And all of these lies that were being thrown at me started to make me basically just hate myself ultimately and hate womanhood. And that's the funniest thing, because this is the feminist movement and it's supposed to be elevating women and the role of women in society and in the world. But on the other hand, what it really does is just deteriorate the idea of women and not just femininity, but the idea of womanhood in general and being a female. And I think that we see that now in our culture, that that's caught up with us. The idea of being a female in general might not be something that women want to be anymore. And I think that that is in a, you know, a byproduct of the feminist movement, especially through the 60s and 70s. And, you know, but even beyond that, even before that. So what happened was I went through these years of darkness, these years in the punk band, these years, you know, getting more entrenched in the feminist movement. And then what happened was I finally met somebody. My atheist boyfriend started working at a Catholic just oddly enough, he got a job at a Catholic firm. It was, it was run by Catholics, but it was just a graphic design firm. And he knew that I was on this search for truth, and I was kind of drawn towards any spiritual person and anybody that practiced any kind of faith. I was interested in them. And he said, "You have to meet my boss. You know, he really is on fire for his faith, and he always talks about faith." And I said, "Oh, that's great. You know, what faith is he?" Because I'm always interested in hearing different kinds of religions and different kinds of spiritual practices. And he said, "Well, he's Catholic." And I said, "Oh, well, that's not something I'm interested in hearing about. I already checked Catholic off the box a long time ago." And he said, "I know, but, you know, there's something different about him." And I thought, all right, well, whatever, you know, I'll meet him and I'm sure I'll ask the same questions that I've asked to every other Catholic, and he won't know the answers, and maybe I'll even shake his faith up a little bit. You know, maybe I'm supposed to shake his faith up and get him thinking about the truth and you know, not living in his bubble anymore. So I almost thought I was there to do him a favor of enlightening him. Right. And it's just funny because looking back, I mean, God must have been laughing at this. And so I went to meet his boss and I started peppering him with all of these questions. And he was the opposite of anybody I had ever met in the church. He was very well catechized, very in love with his faith and very knowledgeable of his faith and of the truths of the catechism. And he was able to answer every single question that I threw at him, and not only answer it well, but answer it in love and charity and, you know, have patience with me. And it really, that was the beginning of the end of this lie for me. Walls came crashing down at that point in time. And that led to, you know, a slow conversion. And, you know, I wound up going to Steubenville. I wound up studying theology. Right. I wound up going on to a higher level of theology. And
so, Kimberly, let me ask
really
you this.
Seeing,
because I only have a moment left, and I've got news and headlines just straight ahead. If people want to read all the story, hear the rest of your journey, and see what you discovered, what's the best way to connect your book?
Absolutely. Well, my book, Motherhood Redeemed, was published by Tan Books, so it's through Tan Books. You can also get it on Amazon, and you can go to my website, which is KimberlyCook.me, and you can also hear all of my podcasts there and stories that are related to this.
That's KimberlyCook.me. KimberlyCook.me. Check it out. The book is called Motherhood Redeemed, How Radical Feminism Betrayed Maternal Love. It's well worth the read. You can see how God's grace worked in her life, how he's always calling us back into a closer relationship with him, and how quite often he uses the most unsuspecting people. It's a great read. My thanks to Kimberly.